What up, Matt Maniacs? This is Mega Ran, and I'm back once again for December's episode of Mega Ran's Matt Mania. It is now December 14th, 2015. I'm just coming off a short tour. Was just out on the East Coast for a quick minute with my homeboys, Mr. Miranda, Chesky, Milo, Mo Nichols. We did Boston, we did Brooklyn, we did New Brunswick, New Jersey, and my hometown of Philly. I had a great time, man. It was last tour of the year, so that was so much fun. I got to shout out Nick Oliver, the booking agent who made all that happen. Man, Clay and the League Podcast guys in Boston, Leeds Entertainment, Luke in Jersey, Jeff in Philly, and so many others for making it happen. This is actually my first time booking a tour through a booking agent. And man, it was great. I loved it. It might be worth it to hire somebody to do these kind of things because it was great. Like, I think I'm kind of done. I'm over booking tours on my own. Like, I do it all the time, but I hate it. You know, the constant calling, the following up and bugging people and being a jerk when money's not right. Having somebody else to do that is great. But the best part overall, though, of this trip was getting a chance to see my hometown of Philly again with Mr. Miranda, who had never been. So he's excited, I'm excited, and it just gave me this newfound, like a youthful, like, exuberance about the town that I hadn't had, you know, which is dope. You know, just seeing it again, going to the Rocky Steps and the statue and eating cheesesteaks and just seeing him experience it made it all new for me, which was really fun. Every tour, of course, always has a soundtrack. This tour's soundtrack wasn't really much different than most, where I would just play random music, but this time, though, in each city, we usually played music from that person. So, if I could recommend one person or group that you should listen to this week, it's Naughty by Nature. I think you should listen to Naughty by Nature's first album. It's self-titled Naughty by Nature album. And Tretch is completely killing it with the rhymes. The beats are amazing. The subject stories are great. It's a really overlooked album because people only think about OPP being the hit song. But there's some great stuff on there. So I highly recommend it. Check it out. What I also listened to that I would recommend is DJ Khaled's interviews or motivational speeches, because they're hilarious and they both got me through a lot of really crazy drives. What else is going on this week? Star Wars is happening Friday. Everybody knows that. Everybody's excited. The movie's already made $55 million in pre-sales. Probably up even higher now. This is going to be the movie we talk about for a very long time. I'm excited. I got my ticket. I plan on seeing it at least twice that day. And so to lead up to it, me and Rachel, my wife, are going to be watching every Star Wars movie this week. She's off Thursday and Friday, so we're going to try to make it happen. Speaking of Friday, I got a show at the Valley Bar with Kavanaugh, which is the new group comprised of Open Mike Eagle and Serengeti, two guys that I've been up and down the road a little bit with. And the album's really great, man. It's like, it's the rap's latest great concept album, I think. So go check it out. It's called Time and Materials. So now you got your required listening for the week. I'm going to talk about some wrestling. I got a guest this week. A guest you should all know. A guy named Kay Murdoch, who has always been there for me. So it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about Roman Reigns. We're going to talk about Charlotte, and we're going to talk about the tag team match that stole the show. So I'll be back in a sec. Me and Kay Murdoch are going to break down TLC 2015 right here on Mega Ran's Matt Mania. Thank you for being here. I'll see you in a sec.
Hey, party people, it's Kay Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Mega Ran are doing now, and it involves you. The fans, myself and Mega Ran just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out. Patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Thank you.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and you are here for Matt Mania, a special edition of Matt Mania. It's all about TLC, not the group of female singers who owe a bunch of people Kickstarter money, or not money, but items. But Tables, Ladders, and Chairs 2015, and I'm not alone this time. I got a tag team partner, the man, the myth, the legend, K Murdoch is here. What's good?
Salutations, party people. What's up, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a young minute. You know, happy holidays and all that good stuff.
Yeah, indeed, man.
Yeah, it's been dope.
First one married for you, man. How's it feel?
Wow, pretty crazy, man. It's still pretty surreal
that, right. That I'm It'll married. Sink in. It'll sink in once that joint account starts getting tapped.
Wow. Yeah. The things you don't think about.
Right, right. No. That's all for the love, man.
But no, I absolutely love it. Like having my best friend, my number one fan, my teammate there all the time. You know, it's dope.
Yes, sir.
Nothing like it. All right. So this is dope. Okay. So let's get it in. You are a person that has an interesting history with wrestling. So I don't know if the people know. So I want you to break it down and just tell them what your relationship is with wrestling.
So back when I was working at XM Satellite Radio 15 years ago, 2001, I got the chance to host a wrestling show, radio show, with a guy who went on to be a pretty big name in like sports radio, especially in New York. He goes by the name of Evan Roberts, and he's one of the hosts on a sports show on WFAN, The Fan, which is a really big radio show out there. But on the show that we hosted, it was called In the Ropes, and I gave Evan his name. His name was Evrob because it sounded like a wrestling name, and I called myself The Doc at the time. My last name was, of course, Murdoch, and I was a big fan of The Rock. This was, of course, at the peak of the Attitude Era, so like Stone Cold, Triple H, The Rock, all that stuff was going on, and we hosted the show for 2 years until XM decided to get rid of the channel it was on. It was on a channel called Babylon. And I got to interview everyone from Triple H to Hulk Hogan to one of the guys, Jeff Jarrett, when TNA first started. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah, man, I grew up watching wrestling, and this was the first PPV I watched in almost 10 years. But in a lot of ways, it kind of like, you know, it's like riding a bike. Once you've done it once, you've done it.
Yeah, they keep before. I think that's why they keep a lot of the older guys around, so you can – you know, when you are kind of in and out, because I know a lot of generations are in and out with it, that you can come back and see a familiar face, you know, like
right.
Booker T's doing Rick like Flair. Pregame stuff. You know, Jerry King Lawler's still there, you know.
So still
you
got, dying his hair.
You're like, come on, you ain't great yet.
Man, he's like 70-some years old, man. Come on, call it a career, man. But he still sounds the same.
He's still funny. He's still got the high pitch. Oh, my gosh.
You know? Yeah. Bully law.
Still keeping
still
it.
Still pervert.
Oh, man. He had some classic lines tonight. But we're going to talk about TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Overall, let's just get a quick overall overview of what you thought of this. This was your first time in 10 years.
No. So,
what'd you think?
I gray-wise, just overall, like
just the overall impression of the product today.
Well, you know, it started really hot, which we'll get into, and the middle of it was really hot too. It was a great match with the Wyatt family and versus the ECW Originals, as they called themselves. But overall, man, I don't know. I was kind of underwhelmed with some of the mid-card stuff, and some of the ones that should have been bigger, I just felt like didn't really impress me that much. And I think a lot of it, and I definitely have to shout out my brother Kirk, because I was like, I know he was getting annoyed with me asking, like, who is this? And, like, I know certain people because I've seen, like, Xavier, obviously, NPC shout out, know, and certain people I can recognize. I even know the Wyatt family because I've seen them before, and I've been like, who is that big dude with the goat mask, you know? But I don't know, man. Like, it's like Encino, man. Imagine going to sleep in 2001 at the peak of the Attitude Era and waking up. When like the silliest thing back then was like Billy and Chuck, right?
Yeah.
And waking up now and seeing these guys and being like, these are the headliners? Like, hell no. Or like, this dude is related to The Rock? No.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty crazy now. And but yeah, I mean, there's always those pieces of the past. You can be like, yo, that's this kid, this guy's kid, or this guy's brother, or
like
this
Rick guy's Flair's cousin. Daughter's wrestling.
This guy's
wow.
daughter. Yeah, like. It's pretty crazy to think. It just kind of lets you know how.
Or like Stardust. He wasn't there last night. But when my brother showed me that Dustin Rhodes' son was now wrestling in Stardust, and he took the gimmick, I was like, "You gotta be kidding me, man!"
Oh yeah, they got Gold Dust and Stardust. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's stuff like that. So they keep pieces of it, you know. And that's funny because as you say it, I realized that's WWE's. Trademark like slogan now is like now, today, and forever, you know,
right? Which makes sense, like, I mean,
because it's always gonna continue to be you know, something that reminds you of the past. So they're gonna be here for a while,
right?
Even when there's no major headliner like we had, like we're in a situation right now,
right?
So let's jump into this pay-per-view. But first, I asked you to pick a song, and you happen to pick a song from a gentleman that we both know. And so tell us about that.
The song that I picked was an ode to one of my favorite wrestlers of God, the 80s and the 90s. Probably one of a wrestler who's you're still trying to decipher a lot of his monologues and promo shoots. They're pretty special. And he wasn't much of a wrestler. He was a guy who ran around a lot. He had big biceps. He wheezed and panted and made weird sounds, but he's definitely a warrior, and he's a legend, the ultimate warrior. And the song was done by a guy who's very familiar with, like you said, myself and you. He's actually part of your crew, the Writers Guild. It goes by the name of Mr. Miranda.
Yes, sir, who I just got off the road with, which I talked about in the intro. Had a good time in Philly eating cheesesteaks and all that. So, all right, so we're going to go into... The Ode to the Ultimate Warrior by my man Mr. Miranda, produced by 3Cube Beats. We'll be back in a second with TLC, The Breakdown. It's Matt Mania. See you in a bit.
I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior, fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.
I remember being young, watching wrestling. Not a care in the world, cause that was everything. Used to watch it in the morning, it was mesmerized. But this one guy was a star who was set to rise, conquering it all. In 1987, the WWF had a monster they would call him
the Ultimate Warrior. The
man was a beast, in the ring, just trying to get his hand on a beast. Used to enter the arena at full speed, then was shaking ropes, ready to make foes bleed. Used to have his face all painted, it was very unique. And most wrestlers felt it was too scary to be. But he did lose his first feud, it was against Rick Rude. But it's cool, cause later on he get dude up at SummerSlam of 89. I was only 6 years old, what a crazy time, man. As the days get brighter and the nights get darker, dumb stay dumb, smart get smarter. The world lost a legend who always came harder. So this one is for the warrior, it's for the ultimate warrior.
Give it up,
it's for the ultimate warrior.
Give it up,
it's for the ultimate warrior.
Give it up.
So if you don't mind, I would like to share your story, sir. As a kid, it was more like a dream. When he knocked Andre the Giant up out of the ring, up at Survivor Series, it was incredible. He pinned Arn Anderson and Bobby Heenan, so unforgettable. But then at WrestleMania 6, he pinned Hogan, leaving all the Hulkamaniacs pissed. Even Hoax had to give him his props by holding his arm up in the air. We were sitting in shock. Even forced Macho Man to retire.
that was unbelievable. That's when we knew that man was on fire. And later on came the rumors he died, but it was just a strategy to get consumers to buy. Him and Vince had issues, so they had to part ways. But seeing him leave, man, those were hard days. Man, even my grandmother liked him. That made me feel cool. She used to say that I was like him.
As the days get brighter and the nights get darker, dumb stay dumb, smart get smarter. The world lost a legend who always came harder. So this one is for the warrior. For the ultimate warrior,
give it up.
For the ultimate warrior,
give it up.
For the ultimate warrior,
give it up.
So if you don't mind, I would like to share your story, sir. Growing up as a kid, we needed role models to cool us off when we were heated like some cold bottles. Wrestling really did that for most of us, especially for the loners, yo, it made him feel close to us. So when he passed, it took a piece of my childhood. Almost had to shed a tear like a child would. Especially me growing up, if you heard Do You Still, then you know I never smiled good. But that night of Monday Night Raw, I'm sure that was the realest shit that Monday Night saw. He gave his final speech with that new high glory, like he knew his death was near, yo, like Tupac's story. But man, he's not here, that's such a damn shame. At least they put him in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. I guess God had to have his soul to get, but I'll forever be a fan of the Ultimate.
As the days get brighter and the nights get darker, dumb stay dumb, smart get smarter. The world lost a legend who always came harder. So this one is for the warrior. It's for the ultimate warrior.
Give it up.
For the ultimate warrior.
Give it up.
It's for the ultimate warrior.
Give it up.
So if you don't mind, I would like to share your story, sir.
Yo, we're back on Matt Mania. It's Mega Ran with K Murdoch. You may know us from stuff like The Manual, Forever Famicom, The Bits and Rhymes, and more recently, Random Beats LLC. We are here to talk wrestling today. Mm-hmm. Sports entertainment and all that good stuff. So TLC is their December pay-per-view, last of the year, before they get into what they call the road to WrestleMania. So it's time to figure out who's what and what's who and get it down. They started with a dark match that I missed. And yeah, I think you missed too. That as well. I'm actually mad because it's not on the network. It doesn't show at the start. It was a pre-show match with Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. Now, I really am a big fan of Sasha. Mick Foley's been pushing for her too. So they added this match last minute. So I want to check it out. It was an 11-minute match that Sasha won by submission. If you guys have seen it, you know, shoot me a comment. Let us know what you thought of it. But we are going to get to the first official match after the pyro and all the begins. A huge match, a triple threat tag team ladder match. Now, that's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. For the WWE Tag Team Championship. Feel the power of the New Day. With Xavier Woods, of course, defeated the Usos and the Lucha Dragons. This right here was my match of the card. Like, agreed. It was insane. But the number one thing I picked up, at least in the beginning, I got notes I took on each match. But Xavier Woods is amazing on the mic, as always. But he also did some commentary. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great. He's super articulate. He's on point. And so what'd
correcting
you think?
Michael Cole.
Yeah, he's like correcting cats. Like, oh, don't worry, I got you. Like, getting the stuff right when they're getting it wrong. I heard Michael Cole even throw a shout to his YouTube channel, the Up Up Down Down. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yeah, you won't see action like this on Up Up Down Down. And he's like, oh, do you mean my YouTube channel that you should subscribe to? And he also made another video game comment when he was talking about 2K16 and how you have to rest before you can climb the ladder.
Right.
Like, he's hilarious. And then he at some point got off the mic in order to play the trombone a little bit. And then there was some
use
more
the trombone.
Trombone action later. But my highlight of the match, and might have been highlight of the year in WWE, was Kalisto taking one of the Usos up to the top of the ladder. Mm-hmm. And then doing this insane backflip thing he does, which is called the
Selena
del Sol. Yeah.
Yeah.
And unbelievable, man.
I really thought, I don't know which one of the Usos that was, Jimmy or Jay, but I thought he was dead.
I thought somebody would die there. Like, that was crazy.
How do you not get injured, man?
I don't know how. Yeah, like, seriously, how do you get out of that without...
Those ladders are crazy, too. I was pointing out to my brother, I was like, they have to be specially made because they look sturdy, but they're not, like, too metallic where you would, you know what I'm saying? Like, they look kind of cheesy and plastic.
They're a little flimsy. Yeah, they're like an aluminum or something. I don't know. Right. So I think they might be special made. Who knows? Yeah. But that was insane. I think people were talking as well on my Twitter that Kalisto, after doing that, kind of cemented a spot like as an up and comer. Mm-hmm. So I actually thought the Lucha Dragons were going to take the titles today.
Me too.
I figured, you know, we kind of needed a bit of a shake up. But the New Day retains when one of the Lucha Dragons was climbing up. Xavier Woods leaves the broadcast table. He's like, oh, yeah, I just remembered this is a no disqualification match. And he, and he jumps up and he throws the trombone at the dude's back, which distracts him. He turns around. Kofi comes behind, pulls him down, climbs up. And the winners and still tag team champions, the New Day. What do you think of the New Day?
Actually, I like them, man. I think they're super over. And, you know, we talked before the podcast that even without the belts, you mean like they would just be, they're probably the coolest thing going for the WWE. And this coming from a guy who hasn't watched the PPV again in almost a decade, but I can just tell. You know, I don't really hear much clamor about anyone else, and they're over. I love what each one brings. It's kind of cool because they each have their own thing. Like, Kofi's kind of like the cool, not Lucha Libre, because I know Xavier kind of moves around too, but Xavier's like the face, the manager / part-time wrestler dude.
Yeah.
Obviously, Big E's just a big Mark Henry type dude.
He's the muscle.
And then, yeah, Kofi's so silly with that unicorn, black unicorn thing they do. I mean, they're funny, man. They're like nerds. They're making it cool. Like, and it definitely is a lot cooler than what I thought. When Xavier first promoted that New Day thing where he was like with the gospel choir.
Yeah.
I was like kind of nervous, man. I was like, there we go. Here we go again.
Here we go again. Coco, brothers beware.
Yeah. Hashtag brothers in wrestling. But he, you know, they've come along, and they're awesome, man. And they can wrestle beyond the gimmicks and stuff. They can wrestle straight up.
Absolutely. So I dug it. I'm gonna give that match an A grade. Sure. So what's your grade on that?
A for sure. And I mean, hell of a way. I mean, to start the whole situation, because I was like, damn, if this is gonna be the tone that's set, then. You know, we're in for a good night, but unfortunately.
Nah, it didn't happen. I feel like these dudes might have all just talked before they went out there, like, yo, they putting us out here first. We got to tear it down. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, it's like when the opener upstages the headliner.
Yeah. It's the exact same, that chip on your shoulder, like, all right, yep. you want to put me on first? Okay.
Yep.
Now you got to follow me, you know? Yep. That's what. I take that mentality into every performance I do. Yeah. But anyway, next match, Rusev, the Bulgarian, formerly Russian beast, with Lana, defeats Ryback by a technical submission. He stomped on his back and did the accolade. And I think he was already out before that because he like kicked him in the head or something. But this match was kind of all over the place. These guys are two big brutes. Ryback is, I hear people say all the time, like, this is kind of like Goldberg.
Oh, dude, like, come on. You know? Yeah, Goldberg, the Hulk, and Batista had a love child, and that is Ryback.
But, yeah, he's like, you know, he's tried some new stuff. He climbed on the top ropes a few times. I thought that was cool,
right.
You know. But I'm really disappointed with what they're doing with Rusev right now, with this Lana situation. Rusev was, like, the man a couple years ago. He's, like, he's a legit strong man. Like, he's a bodybuilding champ. He's, like, a power lifter. He's a beast. And he was undefeated for a year, and then he lost to John Cena, and it was all over.
Oh, man. Then he changed countries.
Yeah, downhill, like, after that. So now he's hiding behind his girl. Like, it just doesn't make sense, man.
That, I could have dealt without that. Like, I felt like if it was just two brutes pounding on each other, the same way you would have, like, Jim Duggan going against, like, somebody, like Big Boss Man or something back in the day, mm-hmm. then cool, I'm with that. But yeah, they used the woman as, like, Lana. That was corny. Like, that's, like, so old-school wrestling that needs to be retired. That gimmick of, you know, we've been seeing that since the days of Miss Elizabeth and stuff. You know, that's corny.
Yeah, I'm a little over that. And I feel like not for these guys, especially guys that are supposed to be tough. Like, these are for the little pretty boys.
And them dudes are huge, man. They could have just, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope they do something cooler with Rusev. I'm a big fan of his. I feel like, I hope he gets into the kind of the, maybe the Intercontinental title mix. Right. I think that'd be cool. But anyway, Rusev wins due to some distraction and shenanigans by Lana. I give this match a C. Now that I'm thinking about it again, might be a C minus. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll give it a solid C. Like, it was awesome, like, to look at beforehand. Like, I was really hyped when I saw Ryback. I was like, oh my God, they brought back, it's like the reincarnation of Goldberg. And then Rusev, you know, he was just a big, meaty, solid dude. And obviously, I've seen, you know, from not watching wrestling, I remember seeing him in all his red Russian stuff. And I know he was like a big name. And I was like, this is the same dude? So it was kind of like underwhelming, you know?
Yeah, man. Next match was a chairs match. Now, I'm not even really familiar with a chairs match, but I would imagine it's just a regular match, but chairs are legal. But this is also no disqualification. I mean, it's tables, ladders, and chairs. They had to have a table match, a ladder match, and a chair match. So Alberto Del Rio, the champion of the United States, defeated Jack Swagger, Mr. Real American, We the People. He's like the new Kurt Angle, I guess. New old, because he was there before and he left.
Right, right.
So I read something, actually. No, I heard Michael Cole say it, that these two fought for the world title like a few years back at like a WrestleMania. And now they're in the middle of the card fighting for the United States championship.
That's crazy. I don't know if that shows you how bad WWE was, that the headliner was Alberto Del Rio, or like, you know, a high card match, or the fact that, you know, these dudes just suck now. Like
Alberto just came back. He's been going a while. He's kind of working his way back up, but I think he's a good worker. Right. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Jack Swagger. He's kind of like Kurt Angle light, but not
with the t-shirt, with the hand over the chest. Come on, bro. I mean, that's slick, but it's kind of like,
We the people. So Alberto is, I like Alberto. I like his mean streak. He can move. He's got like some real original moves in the ring. Mm. I got a couple notes to this one that they must have forgot the rules, because they both do submission maneuvers, and they both tried to use the ropes to escape, and the ropes aren't supposed to let you out in a no disqualification match.
Right.
So that got weird. I think Swagger puts on the Patriot Lock, like, and holding the chair on it too to put some pressure on it or something.
Right.
And somehow Alberto Del Rio gets to the ropes, and then it's like, oh, whew, I'm at the ropes. And then he's like, no, you don't have to let go. And he's like, ah. And then he has to, like, get out of the ring somehow. It's kind of ridiculous.
It was sloppy, man.
They do the cross arm breaker, which is cool. The finish was dope, though. Alberto, like, stomps Jack Swagger into a pile of chairs.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that, but that was
cool. That was the way it started with the chairs. I wasn't hyped on, because I, again, was talking off podcast, and I was saying that they were swinging, and the timing wasn't right, because usually when you swing the chairs, you want to, like, it's like swords, you know what I'm saying? Boom, boom. Yeah, but, like, the timing was wrong, and it looked like Jack Swagger almost really hit, like, Alberto Del Rio, like, with, like, you know, kind of brushed him real quick with the chair. And then, of course, Rio was off timing and almost really hit Jack Swagger. So, I don't know. It just looks sloppy, man. Like, you could tell they're not dudes who aren't hardcore and use those kind of props a lot.
Yeah. So, it's just kind of making it a gimmick match just because. But here's some guys who are used to extreme rules. The next match was the Wyatt family. Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Big Strong Man. Braun Strowman. Who came up with that name? They were like, need a strong guy.
Braun Strowman. I mean,
just call him Big Dude, Strong Dude.
Yeah, strong mofo. Like, he's a brute, man.
So they take over the ECW originals, Bubba Ray, D-Von, Tommy Dreamer, and Rhino, who make some nice reappearances. Mm-hmm. I think Rhino was in NXT for a bit. Tommy Dreamer has his own federation that he works with. and he does some other cool stuff with them. So that was cool to see those guys back. I mean, Tommy Dreamer looks a little slower.
Yeah, we were talking dyeing his hair. Come on, man.
The dye job was a little too perfect. Like, yeah. It's okay to be gray, man. It's
yeah, right. Dude. Like, it shows you wither. I mean, as many hits, come on, man. He was so hardcore in ECW. Like, you know he got scars for days.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, the Wyatt family kind of smashed these dudes. Like, this wasn't really a contest. I read something. It's funny that they said that Eric Rowan, the ball guy, is like on a push, like they're about to kind of give him a singles push.
Right.
And he's dope. He can wrestle, and but he hasn't really been able to stand out outside of the family. And the other day, I guess he broke his sheep mask. Like he wanted to be seen. Like he didn't want to wear the mask anymore. And then he was the first one eliminated in this match. so much for that.
Shut down.
But so then they take everybody else out. So they 3D him. I guess they had to get a 3D off before all the rest of those dudes would get eliminated.
Right, right.
So they 3D Rowan, and then next thing you know, Rhino goes out through a table. D-Von goes out through a table by Bray, and then Tommy Dreamer goes out from just standing around outside and gets dived on through a table.
Yep.
And then it was just Bubba against, like, everybody, all three of them. And he actually found lighter fluid and a lighter underneath the ring. And I'm like, what the heck is that doing there? I can't think of any
reason. But we think it's water, right? And just, you know, they were selling it with Cole or King was like, you smell that? Oh!
Yeah, because, like, come on. Somebody up front might have got sick or something. Like, you can't take those kind of chances. But I actually thought they were going to, like, light the table, light Diva Bubba Ray. Like, I thought it was, like, about to be on. Like, they were going to do some real evil stuff.
I mean, they are burning all those candles with the lighters at their entrance. So, I mean, hey, you know.
I thought they were going to do it. But Beef Strongman comes through, choke slams the heck out of Bubba Ray through the table. And it's a wrap. They, like, smashed these things.
Man, I was so disappointed with that. Because I really thought... I told my brother, I said, it's going to go down to 3-1. And then Bubba Ray's going to, like, get everyone out except either Bray or Strowman. And then, like, that's a wrap for him. It didn't even get to that point.
Didn't even get there. I mean, I was definitely surprised at that. I thought he'd fight a little better. But they're trying to get these dudes over, I think, as, like, beasts. And so,
they did a good job because them dudes, all of them, they look like Duck Dynasty, but they can wrestle.
It's so funny. My boy Dan, when we sat and watched, we watched a pay-per-view with one of my other friends who hadn't watched in a while. And Danimal was there and he was like, so what's up with these guys? He's like, yeah, they're kind of like, you know, they're just like redneck devil worshippers or something. Like, yeah, he just, like, kept trying to think of all these crazy...
The Bushwhackers meet Papa Shango or the Boogeyman or something.
Right. It's so crazy. Like, it's hard to explain it, but I think, I mean, they're way
over... It works, though. It works.
They're way over. They're you know, kind of spooky. It works, like, with their little... With the Coldplay-esque music.
Like, what is up with that? Yeah, or, like, Radiohead or something. It's just weird. It works, but it's really, I don't know, it's weird. It's so, I guess it's made to make you feel uncomfortable, unnerved, and it works.
Mm-hmm. It totally does. So so now that match is over, I actually have to put in a bit of my own opinion because I wanted to see what you thought of it. Mm-hmm. Is it time for the New Day to meet the Wyatt family?
I think, yes, it is, because both of the teams are, like, got easily the coolest, like, it's that typical WWE thing where they got the charisma and personality, but, like, what makes them superstars, like, by their gimmick, but they can wrestle and they're over. So, yes, the only question is who would be the fourth person to square off against the Wyatt since they are four and New Day's only three? Do they get who's going to be that fourth person?
That's serious. You need somebody big, too. Like, you need a big guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, because Big E would get – could you see him being tossed between Luke Harper and Braun Strowman or or Eric Rowan, I mean.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy. I don't know. Maybe they'll get that dude from the Primetime Players, Titus O'Neil
something. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not huge, but
he's a big dude, though. I mean, like, yeah.
But I feel like, but in that, they don't really have a face, though, if those two went together. They're both heels, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like New Day is over. Like, people cheer for them. Right. But they still make time to, like, they diss the city. Like, oh, I didn't want to. What did Xavier say about it? He didn't want to wear a new hairstyle?
For Boston. He's Boston, like, I'm not going to do it.
Didn't deserve it. So they maintain their heel status. So I don't know. Maybe they won't actually go head up, but I would love to see it.
I would like to see the angle, like what causes them to cross paths, because that's two very different,
So different, yeah. You got these happy-go-lucky dudes with unicorns and these like, weirdo cult members.
Right.
So the 8-man tag team elimination tables match, which is also a mouthful, ends with the Wyatts winning at 12 minutes and 30 seconds. They gave these guys a lot of time. And I thought the match was pretty good. I'd give it a B minus.
Yeah, I give it a solid B. I liked it. I mean, again, I haven't seen any of these dudes, so it was like pretty cool. It kind of reminded me of like when Undertaker and Kane used to be together, like that kind of eeriness, but just even more eerie because, the cult stuff is crazy, man. It's like a lot of people don't like messing with the cult stuff just because they're like they get kind of like superstitious about that stuff, even though it's a wrestling gimmick. But still, like, I don't know. I was impressed, man. I was definitely more impressed by the Wyatts, and I was very kind of pissed off that ECW dudes went out like suckers, man.
I think they brought those dudes in just for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's kind of what they do. They bring in older guys.
And have them get tossed.
Basically, so they can put the new guys over. Like, right. That's kind of the way the business goes.
Mission accomplished, man.
So I think that worked out well for them. But Bubba looked good, though. I feel like Bubba seems like he's in good shape.
Devon, not so much. And definitely Rhino,
They said it was a combination of, like, 85 years experience on that team.
Yeah, you're right. And when they said that, I was like, that's a clear sign that these dudes, think about it, that means there's at least 20 years apiece.
Right, that's four crazy. People.
It's not like six people or eight people total.
No, that's just 40, four people with 85 years.
Four people. So everyone's cashing at least 21 and a half.
Right? I thought he was going to say 85, like, table matches between them. Right. But no.
But Bubba Ray, man, he actually looks better than when he was in the WWE before.
Yeah,
he looks good, man. Like,
in good shape. Yeah, moving nicely. Might be doing that DDP yoga.
Yeah, the yoga for real, man.
Yeah. Next up is the Intercontinental Championship match. I'm glad they actually put this down on the card because I think last pay per view, it was like first match out. So they're trying to respect the titles a bit. Kevin Owens is one of my new favorites. I don't know. What do you think of this guy? It's your first time seeing him.
He's cool. It's funny because when I saw him, I was like, is this dude really like, he looks like, I just didn't take him seriously until I saw him wrestle. And my brother made a point. He's like, most of the guys who are in the, bout or are vying for the Intercontinental Championship are usually the guys who can wrestle. And he's right because even though as crazy as Dean Ambrose is, he looked drunk. Like, he didn't know what he was doing half the time, but it kind of worked. But Kevin Owens definitely, the Intercontinental dude isn't always like the guy with the coolest gimmick or whatever. He's just usually the most technical.
Usually, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's technical, strong wrestling guy.
Like Mr. Perfect and guys think of Kurt Hennig and guy, even though he had a great gimmick, but it's usually the guys who can really get down,
That's true. But lately they've been letting kind of wrestling guys get over a little bit. Guys like Jericho.
That's true.
Angle. A lot of those guys have actually made it to the top, but it took a while. But so Kevin Owens taking on Dean Ambrose. This is a match. Probably this is the one I picked beforehand. I thought this would be the best match.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose with his crazy style and Kevin Owens is just really innovative offense. This was a good match, man. It was a lot of up and downs. Sidebar, I'm waiting for Kevin Owens gym shorts. I need those KO gym shorts. Like,
they do look fresh because they're like basketball shorts. Like, that's another thing. I was like, yeah, he wrestles with all that stuff on.
He wrestles in basketball shorts.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Ambrose wrestles in jeans. So
Ambrose looks like Cody from Final Fight, like in a real life movie. Like,
yeah, I think he has like a tape on his hands and stuff too.
Yeah, all he needs is the snug ass white, and he had a shirt on actually. He ripped it off.
Yeah, he ripped it off.
He was like Super Saiyan Ambrose towards the end, so
yeah.
That's
funny. He was cool though. He was cool. I thought the part with him and Roman Reigns at the beginning was kind of funny because I was like, wow, Roman Reigns really has no personality. His mic skills suck. Like,
yeah, he's working on the mic skills, but yeah, they got together. They talked about, you know, like, celebrating.
This night's gonna change forever, man. Right? All right, hold it down, bro. Hold like, it
down, bro. When I pull that title down, strap by strap. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a little too much.
My brother had a good point about that, Roman Reigns. He was like, because he was like, if I have to smash his face in through each rung of the ladder, my brother was like, well, how will he climb it up the ladder? Like, every rung is like
dang, broken. I broke right. The ladder. I can't win now.
Oh, wow.
Dang. So anyway, Ambrose and Owens, a really good match. Owens came out talking trash. You know, he comes out with the mic. He said, oh, this is my world, my time, or whatever. And he talked about the popcorn and soda episode that happened the week before. And he's like, oh, I got news for you, Dean Ambrose. I eat popcorn and soda all the time. So it's like kind of making fun of him being overweight. I felt like making fun of himself there. I thought that was cool. Because, like, people make a lot of jokes about him. Like, his catchphrase is fight, Owens, fight. And so people say fat Owens fat.
Wow. Yeah, I saw a bunch of signs in the audience like taking that line and kind of you know playing on it. That's funny.
Yeah, so it's not, you might as well just play go along with it, you know.
Right.
Owens again, like, it's just crazy offense. He did this fall away slam into the barricade that I thought was cool. He does this this crazy front flip slam off the top ropes, like, which is pretty dope. But Ambrose won with, like, a roll-up. I think it was sort of like a Hurricane
Rana. Yeah, it was like Hurricane Rana into a roll. It was like something out of the old N64 game.
Yeah, he pulled it off with the roll-up. I like that because I think that's something that they don't do enough of. And somebody was talking about that. Usually it's like, you got to do a special move to win, you know? And it's like, no, this ain't a video game. Like, sometimes you get caught slipping and you get rolled up, you know?
Right.
So I like the fact that he beat him with a different move. He went crazy, ran all around the place, burst, ripped shirt off, all that. But this match only got just under 10 minutes, but I think it was enough for them to get everything in. But we got a new Intercontinental Champ. Maybe this will be a nice little feud to build on for the future. Who knows? Because right. I don't really know who else Ambrose could pair with his crazy style.
Right.
I think JBL said, like, man, how do you scout for this guy when, like, it looks like he don't even know what he's going to do?
Yeah, there was a few times in the match he would, like, act like he's going for something and then stop and turn around. And I was like, wow, is this dude really going off script or is he just a great actor? Like,
yeah, he could just be a great actor, man. Next match, one of the best actors, Ric Flair, brings out his daughter. This is called the cool down match. Or if you are a football fan, this is called Sunday Night Football. They gave the Divas Championship match 10 minutes. And again, I'm not hating on women's wrestling. I just don't feel like this feud, this program is really interesting enough. But they're doing some things storyline-wise to work in some things. Charlotte now is emulating her dad with some attitude. She's strutting. She's cheating a little bit. And they had an interesting quote. They were talking the commentary, and they were like, you know, people are upset that she's beginning to emulate her father. And JBL was like, well, her dad was the best. Like, who are you supposed to emulate? Barry Horowitz? And, like, I thought that jobber. Was pretty funny to do that. But yeah, it's like, who's she supposed to be? The Brooklyn Brawler? Like,
yeah, that's true. She's supposed to have that swag. Her dad is Ric Flair, man.
Yeah. So it's weird because they flipped the whole thing. Like, Paige was the bad guy for a long time in this feud. Like, she was making personal comments about the family and stuff like that. And then now Charlotte's, like, cheating to win. So it's kind of weird. It's like, who are you supposed to cheer for?
Right.
So the crowd is totally split. Like, nobody really knows. And that might be kind of messing up the vibe of this feud because you don't really know what's what. So they might be ready to end this. Charlotte won. Because Ric Flair cheated. He pulled Charlotte's legs onto the rope, and then when he got a bit of a distraction, he removed the turnbuckle. And then when the ref was looking again, What happens? Charlotte then pulls Paige, hits her head on the turnbuckle, boom, gets rolled up. Match over. And they talk about going and celebrating and stuff like that.
Limousine riding. And
limousine riding, jet flying. Woo! So, still, Divas champion, Charlotte. Woo!
Is she just Charlotte or is she Charlotte Flair?
Nah, she's just Charlotte. They don't they don't use her name like Flair, Charlotte Flair. I guess they could, but they don't.
I mean, the last name Flair is a cool name. It's not like it's Charlotte Buttkiss or something.
Right. So now we got the main event. Sheamus 515, as he is now called, due to taking out Roman Reigns in 5 minutes and 15 seconds, which is funny, but like Reigns has been constantly kind of like getting the short end of the stick as it's going. I feel like they're trying to build up this chase, like the classic stuff with Stone Cold, you know how McMahon would constantly screw Stone Cold over.
Yeah,
constantly. Yeah, like every time he tried to get something, he would screw him. And so they would build that hunger so that the fans wanted to see Stone Cold win so bad, you know. And they're trying that with Roman, but it's just not really working. Like, the fans aren't totally behind him yet. Like,
he looks the part, but he don't sound it.
Yeah, he's not finding himself on the microphone. And it's a combination, man. You got to have the charisma, you know, to succeed in his business, you know. But right now, you know, he's their number one good guy. Like, that's what they got right now. So here we are, main event, Sheamus and Roman Reigns. Seems strange for a main event, but it is what it is.
The bar has dropped.
One thing I noticed and I wrote down was that there was a lot of chants going on in this match. And one chant was, "We want Rollins." Speaking of Seth Rollins, the guy who was the former champ who got hurt. That guy was amazing. And if I don't know if you've seen any of his stuff, but you got to check him out.
Yeah, my They're brother was like, yeah.
He's like the next Shawn Michaels. Like, that dude is, like, legit. Like, as far as, like, moves, like, offense and being agile, like, he's the next guy.
Man. He has the skills, too, the mic skills?
Yeah, he's got great mic skills.
See? Okay.
So he's gone now, and they really need him. But there was a lot of "We Want Rollins." Later, there was even a "We Want Cena."
Damn.
Which is crazy. Because, you know, they boo Cena all day when he's there now.
Right.
So, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. But there was a mix. It was, "We want Cena. Cena sucks."
Sucks. Right.
So, a lot of back and forth. You know, he's from Boston. So, I feel like they wanted him for that reason. Reigns got pretty much beat down through this match. He gets slammed through a lot of tables. It was a very physical match. There wasn't a lot of wrestling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because these two probably aren't the most technical wrestlers. And that's probably Reigns' issue with me, is that he's not technical. Like, you know, The Rock could do all types of cool stuff.
Right.
He needed to, you know. But Roman doesn't really do any holds well. Like, he's just, like, his finishing move is a punch to the face. Like, he jumps and punches you in the face. It's the Superman punch.
Really?
And then a spear. You know, it's like the two easiest things to do.
It's like, what is this? A make your wrestler in WWE 2K16? Like, what is this, man? Like,
you know, so that's his thing. It's just raw power and speed, you know, not anything technical. So, anyway, so yeah, he does a lot of slamming Sheamus around throughout the match. There's even an NXT chant, which I thought was interesting,
because
NXT, the developmental league, is kind of killing it right now. So, you know, that's interesting. People would rather see NXT than a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because I feel like Sheamus is just, you know, like, I know he's not as hot. Like, I feel like he's kind of peaked out, like, to a degree. And, like, what's his name is hurt. Seth Rollins is hurt. So it's like, who would make sense for, you know, Sheamus to fight, obviously, because they already had Rusev and Ryback, who are also some big heavyweight type dudes fight. So it was almost like a attrition type situation. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. And so now Sheamus has a faction with him. He has the League of Nations, which is Alberto Del Rio and
anti-America
Rusev.
Dudes, right?
Yeah, all the European whatevers and, you know, that hate America, because that's the most sure shot.
Oh, man. Since Hawk and Sheik. Come on,
like,
man.
It'll work. If you say you hate the USA, you will get booed. You will get heat instantly. Right. So it works. So it keeps those guys getting their heat. So Roman Reigns about to win. So close. Gets up to the top. Here comes the cronies. to pull him down. They fight. Roman actually fights these guys off. He makes it back up. Sheamus is climbing. He goes to pull Sheamus down. Bam! He gets a bro kick to the face, which is like the big boot.
Right.
And then it is over. Sheamus climbs up, and he wins. Now, this match, I wrote a C down, but honestly, I'd probably lean more towards a C minus until the end, because this is when it gets good.
So, business is picking up.
Yeah, by God, business is about to pick up. Because Roman Reigns, as he's about to leave, a dejected loser, decides, nah, I ain't going out like that. He's ready to make a statement. So he comes back into the ring, beats the crap out of Sheamus with a chair, just maybe like 15, 20 chair shots. Crack, crack, crack. And they're like, stop this, stop this. And they bring all the referees down. And it's so funny they bring a bunch of referees when they're like the oldest, weakest, slowest dudes. Like, they're not going to stop anything. But they come there anyway. And they're attempting to stop the madness. And that's not working. Triple H comes in the ring because he's the boss. He's the new Mr. McMahon. And he's like, man, Roman, calm down here. Calm down. And that doesn't exactly work out either. And Roman Reigns batters Triple H, like, to the point of, like, beyond recognition. Like, multiple chair shots and hits and elbows and everything else. And then he picks him up and power bombs him into the table. And I just found out that he legit injured Triple H.
Oh, wow.
When he tried to powerbomb onto the table because the table didn't break.
Yeah, it didn't break, right.
And wow. So his spine hit the table. I don't know how bad it was, but it's bad. So it's a real injury. And then the table didn't break, so, you know, you got to do it twice. Right. So he jumps up on the other table and then just elbow drops him through the table. Then Stephanie McMahon's out there. Ah, stop this! Stop it, Roman! You're going to pay! And he walks away like, all right, you know. I made my statement, and they're helping Triple H up. And then he's like, nah, I ain't done yet. Runs back over, spears him, because I guess he didn't get a chance to do his move. It seems like everybody has to do their move.
Right, right. That's like the coup de grace. Like.
Right, yeah, like you can't have a show end without the big guy doing their move. So he spears Triple H and then just beats him up some more. And like literally spent like 20 minutes just wailing on Triple H.
So that took your C grade to a what?
That would take my C grade up to a C plus at least. Okay. You know, because the wrestling still wasn't great, but it was good.
Right. So the drama got it up.
The story is what's good, and that's what they needed right now, is interesting story stuff. And so yeah, Roman Reigns goes completely ballistic. I didn't see exactly what the Triple H injury is or whatever, but I just saw it on my Facebook that. He has a legit injury after falling through the table. He's being evaluated.
Damn. Damn. Well, I mean, that's crazy. Cause I always wondered, like, you hate to see that happen when guys don't break a table, and then like, what do you do? You can not let the table not be broken.
Right. You got to do it again.
Yeah.
That's the worst of it.
You can't fake that, man. Like, I'm sorry. I know you can prepare yourself and take bumps, but bruh.
Nah, you can't fake that. If you hit the wrong piece of that table,
right?
You know, it's just bad.
Oh, fatality.
So he might go from like a fake storyline suspension to a real one.
Right.
After you injure the boss, but I don't know what they're gonna do. Then this is why I say the ending bumped it up, because now I have a story. Instead of just, oh, Roman Reigns lost again, boo-hoo. Now it's like, this guy just went crazy. What's going to be the fallout, you know? So now I actually want to watch Raw and see what happens. I am not sure, but I feel like I've heard some rumors that they're going to save a Roman Reigns Triple H match to a WrestleMania.
Okay.
Kind of build that up a little bit. And if that happens, that means Roman Reigns will not be in the main event of WrestleMania.
Right.
So that means he won't be the guy, you know, the top guy, you know?
Right.
So I don't know what they have planned, because looking at this list, I mean, Dean Ambrose doesn't really seem like a main event WrestleMania guy.
Nah, man. Not after just winning the IC, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but we shall see. Hope Seth Rollins makes it back by WrestleMania. So maybe him and Brock or something like that. But we shall see. Overall, though, what will you give this entire pay-per-view? What's your grade?
I'll give it a C+, man. Like I said, I haven't watched a pay-per-view in 10 years. For me to come back, and it was a lot of highs. It was definitely, well, there was a couple highs. There was a good amount of lows, and just some, and like, I'm switching to Sunday Night Football type moments. You know what I mean? Like, but I was impressed with the New Day. I like the, you know, the Luchas. I like the Usos. Like, man, I'm a fan of the Wyatt family now, and I still like Ryback too. I just because he reminds me so much of like Goldberg, probably, which I'm sure, I don't know, like, does he get tired of that? Because
fans used to chant that when he came out. They'd be like, oh,
he kind of looks like Batista too, like a little bit, you know, yeah. Like a big hawking kind of dude, even though Batista's getting that he's getting that movie money now. He's getting
that movie money.
Yep.
That James Bond money.
Oh, yeah, I know. And Guardians of the Galaxy money.
Yeah. He's good. He might not need to come back for a while.
Man, he's almost like 50 years old, man. Well, I mean, a lot of these dudes are. But, like, he's really in good shape, man.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Anyway. But, yeah, a C+. I'll give it a C+. And I definitely, when I was watching wrestling, even more than WrestleMania, my favorite was actually the Royal Rumble just because of the event. So I'm really looking forward to watching that in January. So, you know, maybe I'll pop up again in the future on Mad Mania, because this has been fun, because it really has got me back into something that was like, you know, video games, hip hop, wrestling to me were all like, you know, one and the same. I grew up with all of those, you know?
Yep. That's what's up. So I got you back into it. So I may be able to get you back on.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, for sure, man.
That's what's up, man. All right, well, I'm glad you had a good time. You didn't just come back like, man, I just wasted 3 hours of my life. On, this man. Is garbage.
Nah, I can't. I mean, I knew what I was getting into. I watched it. I grew up on it, watching it for like 20 plus years. So I knew. So it's just, you know, what is the expression? Same shit, different stall or something like
that. Yeah, that's how it goes.
I just George Bush. That, but you know what I mean. You know, they just recycle angles and gimmicks, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But yeah, you're right, it's the same. It just flips. You know what I mean? It's like, who's the top bad guy? Who's dissing America? Who's got the pretty girl? Who's, you know, who's cheating? And you know, that's it. So, it works. And, you know, it's always fun. Yeah. So, all right, so I appreciate you joining us. I'm going to give you a moment to do some shout-outs to let people know how to find you on the interwebs. All right, go.
Okay, so, well, first and foremost, I want to shout out my brother, Kirk, because he's the one who let me use his WWE account, and we watched it together, which was pretty cool. Then as far as finding me, at Neosonics, NEOSONIX on Twitter, if you want to find what myself and Rand is doing, as far as music, you can go to bitsandrhymes.com. That'll relink to our Patreon, where we're making these exclusive flips for you of video games every month. And then, you know, it's actually Little Bird's been in my ear saying that they want to, I don't want to say a sequel to Forever Famicom, but the next chapter. So maybe in 2016, we can finally make that happen. I got my work cut out.
Maybe Santa Claus will deliver. So yeah, you know, there'll be some cool stuff happening. But yeah, stay in tune with us both at Bits and Rhymes on the Twitter. And shoot us any questions or comments about this episode. I appreciate you checking us out. You can now subscribe on iTunes, so go do that. Please. Download them all, give it a 5-star rating, and tell people that it's your favorite wrestling podcast. Anyway, that is it. It's Mad Mania. I'm tapping out. You hear me tapping out right now? That might become my new thing. I might just say that at the end.
That's kind of cool.
So, this is Mega Rant, and I'm tapping out. All right, y'all. Thanks so much for checking this out. And stay tuned for the next Mad Mania, which won't be till next year. So I'll see y'all next year. Hope you enjoy your holidays. Be safe. Be blessed. Be wonderful. And I'm out. Peace.
Peace.
Working with death. I'm Merlin, I guess. Performing wizard to your microphones. You heard I'm the best, then don't doubt it. Folks crown it. Shows ain't the most crowded, but those round it tell cats so astounded. Thinking I might slip, I'm sharp as ice picks. Applying a claw pressure similar to vice grips. Killer Kowalski, killing them softly. Pillage a raw beat. Listen, you off beat. I kind of hide your made rappers with a lot to say. And promoters don't approach if you ain't got the proper plate. Airplane spin them like gorilla monsoon. Rapper spit enough hot air to fill a pontoon. Camden MJ to Camden Town. You can't get down. Test over, hands down. No grams to chop. I scam and plot. I'm Ken Shamrock, putting the mic in the hammer lock. Spit no fables. My flow fatal. Choke slam weak MCs through old tables. Get it clear like proactive. My raps is cactus, sharp as taxes. Classic.
Always been a bad seed, so I never bear fruit. But the flavor that I'm serving got them rubbing on their sweet tooth. Who needs proof when the guild is in the building? Everybody hit the deck and grab the women and the children. Take a deep breath. You wanna make bets? I'll have you wishing for a really quick death. So puff out your chest and get deflated real quick. Rappers thinking they can face me, they need to get a grip. These niggas jump shit if they feeling kinda threatened. Every time I hit the stage, man, it ends all oppression. Back with a loaded weapon, put it to your melon. Pull the trigger, now you're ready for your first life lesson. A stroke of genius, so check the thesis. You're looking for the cushion, I got the greenest. And I'm a bad boy, no Puff Daddy. You can find me shoving bodies in an all-black caddy. Yeah.
Rockin' with the best. When it came to music, it was blessed. It's still stressed, but the power of struggle, it never sat with us. A little trip of your minutes to make sure, yeah, I was double. Come on. I ride waves, I'm a soul surfer. Kill it, so-called hot MCs. It's cold murder that's doing a damn thing. About to pop off like a bottle of champagne. Riders killed all day, you see in the campaign. How you weathering the storm, it can even stand rain. Damn, got more dynamite than Napoleon. About to commit a holy sin for being the man. Cause I'm tired of seeing gold, you win. And I'm a mastermind up on that old dirty bastard grind. Let the disaster shine and continue to kick ass with no costume on.